From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So today there's a tectonic shift in the Gospels. We begin St. Matthew, which will accompany us for the next 12 weeks, all the way through September 3rd, when we'll meet Jesus with St. Luke in the synagogue of Nazareth. Today we begin with the most important and the most famous passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, his Magna Carta of the Christian life, the Beatitudes. And how fitting it is that we have the Beatitudes on the Feast of St. Barnabas. Pope Francis, 2 months ago, published his exhortation on holiness today. And in the fulcrum of that exhortation, the third chapter, he described holiness under the specter of the Beatitudes. He said, we don't need to look long and far for complicated explanations of what holiness is. He says, the Lord Jesus has made it clear and simple for us in what he gave us with the Beatitudes. This is the Christian's identity card, he said. Live this, and we are on the path to beatitude. St. Barnabas clearly was, like all the saints, someone who excelled in living the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, he divested himself of all his property and laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles to distribute to those who most needed it. He was meek, so comfortable playing second fiddle to his spiritual son, St. Paul. He hungered and thirsted for holiness, not just for himself, but for all the people Jesus had died for on Calvary. He was merciful, as we see the way he treated Saul after nobody wanted to have anything to do with him because he had previously murdered Christians. He was clean of heart, seeing God in situations where nobody else could. He was a peacemaker. We see him intercede with Paul for his nephew John Mark after Paul and John Mark had had a falling out. And he was insulted and persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the Lord's name, which is why today we celebrate in red. Barnabas is a man of the Beatitudes, and he wants to help us to learn this path. I should preach more on the second part of each of these Beatitudes. It's always been my emphasis when I look at these passages, to talk about poverty in spirit, to talk about mourning, meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, etc. But if we turn to the second half, the various promises, we see extraordinary gifts that the person who lives the Beatitudes will be comforted, inherit the land, satisfied, shown mercy, see God, called a child of God. belong to and, in a sense, own the kingdom of heaven. What extraordinary gifts those are. But I want to focus on just one, comforted. St. Barnabas was one who, as St. Paul would write to the Corinthians, had been comforted with the comfort that comes from God. He had been strengthened by God so that he could, in fact, go out and strengthen others. And that's precisely the ministry that he had in the church. What a nickname, Son of Encouragement. As my priesthood has gone on and I've seen more and more that the Lord has shown me, I've grown in devotion to St. Barnabas. Because I think we're ministering in a discouraged world, a weakened world, because people are let down. They don't know so much how to handle the difficulties, especially the ordinary difficulties. Last week, as you know, we had two celebrity suicides. And the world can't understand it. How could you be the designer of a line of handbags that so many women in the world are willing to pay lots of money to carry, and all of a sudden you hang yourself in your own bathroom? How can you be a famous CNN star and celebrity chef, and then all of a sudden just end your life? You've got money, you've got fame, you've got influence. You seem to have it all, but the one thing you don't have is happiness. You don't have hope. You don't have the courage to go on. And we can find lots of people who aren't suicidal, who likewise are discouraged. The Lord, on this feast of St. Barnabas, wants to encourage us, to fill us with his own strength, so that we can go out and fill others with courage in that same divine strength. We see that with Barnabas throughout his life, but particularly with St. Paul. No Barnabas, no Paul. It's extraordinary. The greatest evangelist who ever lived would have died a tent maker, buried in a shallow grave in southeastern Turkey, were it not for Barnabas. Saul, after his conversion, you remember, was preaching there in Damascus in such a way that they were seeking to kill him, so he had to be lowered out of the wall in a basket to escape. He went to Jerusalem, figuring the church would accept him in Jerusalem, but the church wasn't accepting him in Jerusalem because they knew well what he had done. They were afraid of him, the Acts of the Apostles tell us. And they thought, essentially, that he wasn't a true convert. It was Barnabas who went out, listened to him, came back, told his whole story, and got the church in Jerusalem to accept him. And once they accepted him, Paul started to do in Jerusalem the same thing he was doing in Damascus, preaching in such a way that the Sanhedrin, who had authorized him to go after the Christians, had now authorized others to go after him. And so Barnabas was the one who took him all the way up to Caesarea Maritima to save his life in the hope that later he would be able to be used. And as we see in today's first reading, when Barnabas was sent to Antioch in order to strengthen the first Christians in the place, they were called Christians. There were so many converts that he knew he couldn't do it alone. And it's then that he went to Tarsus and said, "Paul, we need you." And Paul, with alacrity, came. Who knows what Barnabas was thinking about Paul? Whether he just wanted to give Paul a chance because Paul was so zealous to proclaim the gospel, or if he had a vision of what Paul would be able to accomplish. Regardless of what it is, he asked Paul, and Paul became superior in every way as the Holy Spirit continued to work through Paul. And we are here because of Barnabas's courage in encouraging Paul. Likewise, little do we know, when we promote a vocation, when we intercede for somebody who's struggling, when we fight, when we know that they have a vocation, when the devil is beating them right side and left side and from the top and from the bottom, just what the Lord might be doing. But the world needs way more Barnabases. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we ask for a double portion of His Spirit, so that following Him on the way of the Beatitudes, we might one day come to that place where He and Paul experience forever the friendship of the Lord.